First off, Tim Bailey from the Melbourne Racing Club.
RSN 927's track report.
Tim, very good morning and happy new year to you.
Same to you, Brendan.
Today we're racing on a good four and we push the rail out to the 12 metres for Hillside.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we haven't been here for 3 weeks. The last meeting was at 9 metres on Hillside, so just out 3 metres on fresh ground again. Currently on a good four, Brendan. Forecast is, well, it's an overcast morning, which was predicted. The sun to come out this afternoon and then the breeze to get up to about a 30-35 kilometres southerly. So that's certainly drying weather when that comes out. So I do expect an upgrade during the day, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're on a good four for, you know, the first part of the program.
Lovely. Thanks very much, Tim, and good luck with the meeting this afternoon.
Thanks, Brendan.
Okay, Dean Lester's going to join us for a look at the Sandown Hillside preview. Good morning to you, Dean. First of all, we might have a quick look at the racing yesterday at Flemington.
Yeah, good morning to you, Brendan. Yeah, it was good racing yesterday as we were hoping for at Flemington. I think the two feature winners were very well received by the punters.
We got it underway with the two-year-olds. There was a big spruik around Italian Witness, but Jetta Star had shown some good dash in a jump out, and she led them throughout, and Anude was okay on debut. Liar, the unlucky one.
Yeah, I think that's about the race. Jetta Star went very keenly in the middle stages, and I wondered if she'd have a lot left, but she did. She had plenty left, and over two-length margin, Anude was a lovely run. She came out of the pack and just lengthened down nicely, but she's going to be better over further. And you mentioned Liar. She had to sort of wait her turn and come across heels, and by the time she got out, the race was over, but certainly hit the line full of running, and she's probably a filly to follow.
Yep, she certainly will be. The second, Social Spin, Longleaf, had a good battle. Social Spin was a little slow out, but he was strong at the end, third up.
Yeah, and he had the 4 kilo weight pull, and he got a lovely run into the race and got Longleaf late, who hadn't raced for a few weeks, so probably the race fitness and the weight probably all kicked in. Beacon, he had his chance, 1400 probably his upper limit. Nantali did enough, and probably Renegade was the little bit disappointing runner there. May not have backed up off that hard first up run.
Five Kingdoms took the lead in the third, controlled the race for knee, ridden a little bit upside down, but it was always going to be a case, was where he was going to be with the small field and the lack of tempo. He headed Five Kingdoms, but he kicked strongly. The winner for Michael Pointer recorded his first Flemington victory.
Yeah, it was a good ride too. And I, also with Ethan Brown, I thought he made the best decision on Fanim. He couldn't get in. He just slid forward gradually and got around Box on Collins, got outside the lead, but the horse was jumping from 1400 and Five Kingdom, older horse, and had a good grounding. And he was really tough late. And, yeah, the first of many Flemington winners, I think, for Michael Poy. He's the apprentice for mine coming through the ranks.
A famous set of colours that his dad made famous with Better Loosen Up.
Exactly. Yeah, it was going back in time watching Michael Clark's son in the famous white with the green sash.
The fourth event was a really close finish. Hay now just arriving in time to win third up and give Sean Dwyer his first Flemington victory for a while, and Liam Ridden his first of his career.
Yeah, I know you thought this mare had a good chance, and she's been building her form, and got there in time. Probably on the turn, she wasn't the one you wanted to be on, but she just sort of kept rallying, and right on the line got the bob to beat, set to sparkle. Lady Cromac was there to win, wasn't beaten far. Absolute Heaven was better up on the speed, battled on well, but yeah, 1.4 lengths between the first seven there, not a lot between them. The disappointment there, I think, Sophie's Revenge. I thought on straightening, she probably got held up a bit, but didn't run on as anticipated.
Maybe be forgiving of her. Her 1400 metre stats weren't great leading into that race.
No, true, but she was pretty good at 1440 the run before. Yep. So, yeah, I don't know what to make of that's a, you know, her third run in Victoria, and her first two we'd seen her really rattle through the line, but we didn't see that yesterday.
The third was one of the impressive winners of the day, Shabao, back from the wide draw mark. Zara made a looping run. Prince Ziggy was game in defeat, but Shabao just got the upper hand late and they really got clear of him to Rio back in third.
Yeah, it was always going to be close, but you always had the feeling Shabao was going to have enough in the tank to win. And I thought, given the circumstances of the barrier first up and everything, the ride was sensational from Mark Zara. He just kept getting dragged into the race by horses that took him far enough, and then he peeled out. They paired off. They beat the rest nearly four lengths at Shabao. Obviously, a horse going places, and the further he gets, the better he'll go, I think.
Whispering Brook, she was tough again winning the Standish. There's a little part just before they came out of the course proper. Dean Yendall had to make a decision inside or Dean Yendall had to go inside or out, and he went back to the inside. Looked like she was going to get into a bit of a squeeze, but she was too good at the end.
She was too good. They went, I thought, probably too steady on the answer. My friend, he looked keen. He wanted to go faster, and the clock shows that he could have gone a lot faster, I think, in front, and probably tried to break them up a bit, whereas the horses that have got the sharp turn of foot, and they're all mares, run 1, 2, 3. We saw Smart Coupe and True Excelsior off a slowly run race, similar tempo a couple of weeks back, run really well at Flemington, and they ran well again yesterday. But Whispering Brook in good form. I'm forgiving of the answer, my friend. I like him better when he's flowing. And that was about the race for me. Holbein's around the mark, but without winning in his last few, but he's going quite well.
Etymology was a big winner in the bag. It's hard to jump in at the $2, but once he gets out over a trip, he's starting to assert his dominance, and the Barisha picks up some handy prize money in second. Dino, he just doesn't know how to run a bad one.
No, he kept chasing. It was a very fast run race, and not only did Goodwood Zodiac lead at a good speed, but then wanted to run off the track at about the 800 and took our big Mike with him, which didn't help his cause with the big weight, but Etymology was there and just in a different league at the moment. And it's fascinating that it was sort of 2.5 years between him getting out over these trips again, but now he's back over the trip where we saw him place in a Derby and a St Ledger. He's won at those trips he's passed too, and he's going very well.
And in the last first two across the line, wasn't a lot between them. Diplomat Jack probably had the better run through Lure Me In, got back and had to circle the field.
Got back and he had to wait and wait and wait. He was travelling, but I think Chris Caserta was hoping something had really carted him into the race, and nothing would. And Diplomat Jack, as you said, posied up a little bit closer than usual, got the good run through, and really turned the table savagely on Silverhawk from Werribee. Heir to the Throne might have been just left in front a bit early, Brendan. He ran very well, I thought, in running third.
Yeah, the gelding operation certainly turned him around.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a really handy horse. He's the brother to Prince of Penzance, of course. Probably won't reach those heights, but he's got a nice future.
Okay, Dina, how do we fare overall after the program yesterday at Flemington?
We needed Lure Me In to win, Brendan, I know that, but he just didn't quite get there. But, I think we've highlighted Liar out of race one. I think she's the one that I'll be following, especially as the two-year-old races probably get a little bit longer too. She looks really strong getting through the line in her races, and I think she'll be winning soon. Chabau, looking forward to seeing how he unfolds. And wouldn't mind seeing Holbein now step up to 1,400. That was where he was really dominant when he was winning as a three-year-old, and wouldn't mind to see him have another go at 1,400.
Well, that's our wrap of Flemington. And if we didn't fare so well, the best part about racing, there's always another day, Dino. Today we head to Sandown on the hillside. What's your overall thoughts on the program today?
I quite like the meeting, Brendan. I think, first couple of maidens look quite competitive, but there's some good races later in the day that I think certainly look good opportunities.
We get the card underway with a three-year-old and up maiden. American Rock comes out. Just check you have Reece McLeod on McCleary. Joining us from the tab is Trent Langscale. Trent, what's happening with the tab markets in the opener?
Good morning to you, Brendan. For the first on the card at Sandown, Plan to Lad, one of the better backs on the card, opened $4.40 late on Monday and is now into $3.60 just from this morning's betting at $3.80 into $3.60. Scotch O'Clock, the $5 equal second elect with a mannequin, and then you've got McCleary at $6.50, just a touch easy this morning. So Schmick also at $6.50, and then Lacazette is the other galloper in single figures, has been adrift though this morning from $7.50 to $8.50. Overall in the first over, in a good push for the favourite Plan for Lad, who opened $4.40 and is now $3.60.
So into $3.60 for Blandford Lad. Dino, how do we see the speed in the opener?
Brendan, I'm thinking that the speed's probably Dream Brother Reward. The missus went forward last start, but that's not a usual pattern, but she ran a cheeky race going forward. I thought Outrigger would probably present from barrier one and be quite prominent. Lacazette, the first starter from the Hawks stable, I think at this distance will be fairly prominent. And Scotch O'Clock is the interesting one. Really ran on well on debut, and then I thought ridden too close last start. Be interesting to see how they ride her in the or him in the early stages of the race.
Okay, Blandford Lad's been well back from the Gallagota stable. We've seen him in a couple of trials at Cranbourne, most recently back on the 26th of November behind Silverhawk. Does he figure amongst your numbers?
He does. He's going to need every bit of 1,300, I would think. He looks as though he's going to get more of a trip. This is an interesting race. Number 9, Amanakan, resumes here. Has had two recent jump outs at Cranbourne. Looks to be going well. Been very strong in both of them. And just think the draw here allows Bo Mertens to sit back and come with one sweeping run. And wouldn't be surprised if this horse ran very well first up. I'm going to go with Amanakan 9 to beat Blandford Lad. As you said, there's been good support for him. His trials, I think, have been adequate and he can run well. I mentioned in the speed map, Scotch O'Clock, I thought, just ridden too warm last start. I think off a quieter ride here could certainly improve. The debut run shows there's ability. And So Schmick visually was a really good run first up, but it was a very slow finish. And it was just maybe passing tired ones as much as anything. This is probably a little bit harder, maybe next best. But I thought 9 around the each way mark represented quite a decent bet. 9, 6, 7 and 8.
9, 6, 7 and 8. Pat Carey with McCleary. He's also got North Africa. Must be pulling his hair out, Pat, trying to win a race with this pair.
North Africa back in, or up in class yesterday and back to last. Surely there's a race for him soon. He didn't get beaten far again yesterday. And McCleary just looms up to win races and hasn't been able to finish off. But a little freshen and starting again, I see.
The three-year-olds go around in the second. It's a maiden over the 1,500 metres. Walton Hall was a late one this morning at 8.04. 11 Birdwing comes out as well. How's the market in the second, Trent?
There's been a fair bit of adjustment during this morning, Brendan, with the second on the card at Sandown. You have Mono Ferrante, who is the favourite, has come in from as much as $4.60 into $4. Countess de Alves, another one that's had support during this morning, 6 into $4.80. Ridgewood Drive, who was the original favourite this morning, has eased from as short as 4.20 to 5, now on the third line of betting. Wild Vitality at 6, Whitemore at 8, you have another in single figures in King Landon at 8.50, and then even after that, Ordell's given some sort of a hope at a price at 11. A lot of changes in the second during this morning's betting. Bonaferrante now at the top of the market at $4, Countess de Galvez at $4.80. And Ridgewood Drive gone from favourite to the third elect, now at 5.
So, you know, there was specking for Monteferrante at Caulfield last time out. Was 17 down to 15, but they're putting some money on this morning.
Yeah, it's certainly in the mix there. Brendan probably settles just off the speed. Late scratching there of Carberry Hill probably doesn't affect the speed map too much. I'm thinking King Landon up in trip and maybe Whitemore from out wider. It likes to just gradually roll forward and can do so. And then any of the likes of Ordell, the first starter, Bud Fox, Ridgewood Drive have got tactical speed. So I think the speed will be even enough. This is an interesting race. Wild Vitality's jumped out of the ground at his last two runs. He was massive odds here two starts ago, 50 to 1 in a maiden when he ran second to Yulong September, who ran very well in Adelaide on Saturday, and then ran third at Benchmark 70 level to Poised to Strike at $81. It's been big odds his last two, but I think you've got to trust that the horse is going really well, and I think probably if it was in a higher profile yard, it'd be a lot shorter off those two form references. So I'm going to go with Wild Vitality here, number 10 to beat 5, Ridgewood Drive. Liked his trial work going into the debut run at Bendigo and just got flushed out that touch early, battled on really well. A little worry is the horse that beat him was well beaten yesterday, but I still think this horse is progressive enough. And then you've got Countess de Galvez, who had no luck at Caulfield, and Montferrant, who ran very well at Caulfield, coming through the same maiden. I think they're certainly competitive, but one of the more competitive races of the day with a few chances. I put them in 10, 5, 12 and 13.
Race number 3 for the fillies and mares. It's a Benchmark 64 over 1,500. One Champagne Cocktail, 3 Miss Adequate. Stay at home. A small field here, Trent, for the third.
Small field here, Brendan, but an intriguing betting affair from this morning. We have Cryptic Jewel, who remains the favourite. Did get into a short as $1.95 at one stage. Now back to a $2.10 favourite. Ambitious Gem has also been easy during this morning's betting. $2.80 to $3.20. The real support has come for Our Shaquilla on the third line of betting. Has been as much as $4.40 into now $3.50. They are the only three in single figures. You have Majestic Halo at 11, and then it is 21 or bigger the rest. Cryptic Jewel, easing as the favourite, now $2.10. Also adrift for Ambitious Gem at $3.20. Really good backing for Our Shaquilla, who's come in from $4.40 to $3.50.
Where do we see Our Shaquilla getting to on the mat, Dean?
Yeah, it doesn't look a high-pressure race. I think she's probably third pair, Brendan. Maybe Majestic Halo kicks up. Tycoon Kate on the back up from Monday. Courting Verity mightn't be that far away. They're the three I've got probably going forward, and Our Shaquilla, you know, just behind them.
What are we like in the fillies and mares race?
Yeah, I think the favourite's a good favourite here, Cryptic Jewel. I wouldn't be. I thought she'd probably, before the support voucher killer start odds on, that was a very good win at Caulfield. It was only a maiden, but she ran the best 400 and 200 of the day, and she just got stronger as the race went on, and Craig Williams rode her in that manner, and I think 1500 will really suit her a lot better than some of her rivals. I think Archiquilla, I can understand the support for her because she's a tough and seasoned mare in this grade and didn't have a lot of luck at Moonee Valley last start when she was trying to wind up. She got shut out for a run a couple of times. So I do think she's the main danger. Ambitious Gem was never in the right spot in the leader-dominated race last week at Caulfield. I've just got to see her run a strong 1,500. Her only placing at 1,400 was on the synthetic last preparation, and 8 Majestic Halo next best. But certainly think Cryptic Jewel's a good favourite, and I understand the backing for our Chiquilla. 6-4, 2-8.
6-4, 2-8 from Dean in the third. The MyPunter.com benchmark 64 is the fourth over the staying trip. How do we see the market here, Trent, in the fourth?
Well, for the fourth here, Brendan, there has been a change of favouritism since the scratchings came through for the meeting this morning. Blue Jay Way, now at the top of the market, has come in from $3.60 to $3.40. Nagassi has been demoted to the second line of betting, having drifted from $3.20 to $3.60. They have separated from True Gent, who is currently on the third line at $6.50, has had support at a bigger price during this morning. Man Alive has got out of touch from 7 to 8. You have Pretty Mama at $8.50, and then it is $10 or better the rest, headed by So Belafonte. But we do have a change of favouritism in the fourth at Sandown. Blue Jay Way has tightened from $3.60 to $3.40. Nagassi now on the second line at $3.60.
How do we see the map in the 14?
Don't dismiss usually races prominent. So Belafonte will be handy. Nagazi, I think, comes across from out wider. And Dugan Dries on the back up from Sunday at Seymour. I think he's usually an on-pace runner at this sort of trip. So I think they're the first four early, Brendan. I think they'll roll along at least an average speed, maybe slightly better than average.
Blue Jay Way certainly throws to his sire's traits. He doesn't mind getting out over a trip. Both his wins have been over a trip, and he was beaten a tick under 3 lengths at a St. Ledger last year. Does he figure amongst your numbers, Dean?
Yeah, good chance for Blue Jay Way. I think True Gent has been probably a little bit frustrating for punters, but that last run was just such a really brave and tough run. It was three wide for a lot of the trip, and was just game behind Bring It, who I was giving a little chance to yesterday, only beaten 3 lengths there. It's had a really good grounding. Last five runs have been at 24 or 2500, so hard fit for the for this sort of challenge, and I just thought True Gent would run well. Blue Jay Way, yeah, progressive mare. She was very good at Seymour. The extra distance of this race certainly suits, and she can win. If there's a long shot winner of this race, I reckon it might be Hegemon. He was in the Bring It race also, and he led, which is absolutely not his go. But I think a quieter ride here could see him get into the money, and he's won at 2,400 metres, and won Nagazi, who's racing well in this grade. Going to be competitive, I think, well enough found in the market. But, even race, but I'm leaning True Gent's Way. 9, 5, 7, and 1.
We head on to the first leg of the quaddie, a benchmark 64 over 1,800 metres. 4-0 like a high is the withdrawal. Check, you have Jai McNeil on number 9, Maduri Yama. And Trent, who's the favourite for the first leg of the quaddie?
Well, in race 5 here, Brendan, the punters have honed in on the favourite in Shaq during this morning's betting. $3.10 was on offer, and that has gone now $2.60. As a result of that, you've got Diamond Bow, who has eased from $4.80 to $5. Thickening at $8.50. Low in the Castle has got out as well from $8 to $9.50. And then you are getting to the double figures. You've got Raw Volley and Raid the Cabinet. They're both at $12. And Midori Yama heads the others at $13. But they're only interested in one runner here. Brendan, for the first leg of the quaddie, Shaq $3.10 in the $2.60 this morning.
Dino, how do we see the map in the first leg of the quaddie? Nice long run along the back straight at Sandown.
Yes, it is. I think probably Louisville Lip will probably hold Barrier 1. So Able, Royal Volley, and maybe Raid the Cabinet can begin well and roll forward to some degree. But that's about how I think they'll settle, Brendan. But not a huge speed, that's for sure.
Shaq, the favourite, has been well tried throughout the morning, placed in 3 of his last 4.
Yeah, and this really does play into his hands. I don't think it'll be a high-pressure race. 1800's absolutely as far as he wants, and with the morning scratching of nothing like a high, he really gets a chance to win a city race. He was a bit unlucky last start. He's well-suited here, and he's certainly the one to beat. From Seven Diamond Bow, didn't have a lot of luck at Flemington last start. I'm not absolutely convinced she's looking for 1800, but in this grade, she'll get away with it because she's quite talented, and I think she's got a very good chance. Then Three Sickening, who's been freshened up by the Weir stable. I think that gives him some chance in this grade off a win last start. Midoriyama made an early move on a slow speed in the same race as Shaq last start. Could certainly run well here, but yeah, he's very well placed, Shaq, to win. I think a good day for the Brent Stanley stable. 6, 7, 3, and 9.
6, 7, 3, 9 from Dino in the first leg of the quarter. Another benchmark 64 is race number 6 on the program. They're coming out of the 1,000-metre shoot. Plenty of apprentices with a ride in this one. Where's the money heading in this race, Trent?
Fair few chances here, Brendan, for the 6 on the card. And the punter confidence isn't as strong as some of the other races that Dino has been previewing. But Villasarci, the favourite, has come in during this morning from 480 to 440 as the favourite, but is indicated there by $4.40, an open affair. You have Divine Mr Tycoon, who's hovered around the $5 mark for most of this morning, currently the second elect. From the Clouds, just out of touch from 650 to 750. Then you have Wildwood Jade at 8, a couple of $10 in Captain Crackerjack, and also Bold Type, and then 11 or better, where Beaverbrook is that price at $11. But as mentioned, Brendan, we've got Villasarci, who's been 480 into 440, but perhaps not as strong as interest compared to some of the other races on the program.
Dino, generally good speed out of the 1,000-metre shoot at Sandown. Who's going to be up at the head of it?
Yeah, usually you can default to Captain Crackerjack in this sort of scenario, Brendan. He's such a quick horse early, and he'll come across from out wider. I'm interested in how much speed Hugh Jackson will show with the blinkers first time. He's an on-pace runner anyway, so he could be very keen in the blinkers. Divine Mr Tycoon will be handy. Turak Smock and Bold Type have got tactical speed, so no shortage of speed here. It looks a genuine tempo race.
The well-tried Villasarci was a winner over this course and distance in a similar grade last time. Is he in your numbers there, Dino?
Yeah, he's at the top, Brendan. Yeah, he's been well found this morning, that's for sure. And I think with good reason. He trialled about 3.5 weeks ago at Geelong down the back straight there, trialled really well. And as mentioned, winner first up at this track and distance last preparation. I'm going with him. He'll be off the speed, though. He'll need a little bit of luck at the right time. From the Clouds, I just thought, trying to get cover early last start at Caulfield, got dragged too far back, and then as soon as she got back there, had to go and reeled off some of the, I think, the best sectionals nearly of the day in running close up at Caulfield in running fourth. I just think with the speed on here, she won't have to be dragged back to get her cover. She'll just be midfield, and with the claim for Chelsea McFarlane, I think she's got a great chance. 8, Divine Mr Tycoon. It's got the Starfall form line, so that's a strong reference from Pakenham. He's right in the mix, and Hugh Jackson, as I mentioned, he's often overplaced this horse, but in a 64 grade with a claim, he's nicely suited and certainly competitive in this grade first up. But this is the most competitive race of the day. 5, 9, 8 and 2.
5, 9, 8 and 2 from Dean in the first leg of the double. We head on to race number 7, another benchmark 64, this one for the 3-year-olds. Scratchings here are 6, 7, 10 and 12. We're running 1,300 metres. Trent, the favourite Hawkshot, what price are we looking at the moment?
Currently $1.95, Brendan. We did open at 2.30 on Monday. Now, there have been scratching since then, but that's where there was support originally at the $2.30 mark. And even this morning, just a slight tweak in from $2 to $1.95. Fabian Spirit hasn't budged at 4.40 this morning as the second elect. Then you have Elegir at 7, just a touch easy. No More Bids at 8. And then you've got a couple at 13 in another bit, and also Garmin Agic. But we have the odds on pop here in race 7, Brendan, and is popular enough. Hawkshot currently $1.95.
What's the tempo like for the small field with the scratchings now, Dean?
Yeah, I think Robe de Fay at 1,300 could probably lead. No More Bids is first up in blinkers and has been gelded, I think. Looked sharp in a recent trial. Hawkshot, they'll be trying to get him to relax and settle. His stablemate Fabian Spirit from Barrier 1's got tactical speed, so I think the speed will be okay, and it'll just need to be for the favourite just to try and switch off that little bit.
What do we like?
Well, it's up to him, Hawkshot. If he wants to just relax a little bit and save that energy for the finish, he'll win. He's a good talent. He just gets it a little bit wrong since his debut win. Probably should have won here at Sandown, and then he got it all wrong in the Anzac Day Stakes. His first up run, he was just a little bit keen through the bridle up the straight at Flemington. But, yeah, I think you couldn't take him one out in the quaddy, even though he's a short quote, because he has that tendency to over-race. But if the day he gets it right, he'll beat a field of like this pretty well, I think. Robe de Fay, I think, is actually looking for 1,300. He won a 1,000-metre race here, very low pressure, low figures when he won at 1,000 metres. And I just think they're a bit sharp for him at the shorter trips. At 1,300, he might just roll along here and give a good sight. 11, Jarman Agic. Didn't mind a recent trial. This horse put in at Werribee recently. That was with the horse that beat Hawkshot in Poised to Strike. He trialled with him at Werribee and trialled quite well. And the O'Brien stable going very nicely. And 8, No More Bids, as I mentioned, jumped out well at Sandown recently. Looked keen and looks ready to go first up as a gelding. 2, 5, 11 and 8.
2, 5, 11 and 8 from Dean. In the 7th event, we go to another benchmark 64 to close the program. Over 1,300 metres, scratching through a 12 in the bottom three emergencies. 15, 16 and 17 come out. Trent, what's the market doing here in the last, and what's the best back runner across the card at Sandown today?
Well, in the last at Sandown today, Brendan, Tin Hat has been well back, open $3.30 on Monday, and throughout this morning has come in from 280 to 260. There has been a Titan for the second elect during this morning in Abero, as much as 8 into 6. They appear to be the dominant pair. You do have Abyssinian, who is at 8. Then you're into the double figures straight away with Amtel at 10. And of the rest, you've got Pico at 11 and Six Sigma at 13. But in the last of 8 there at Sandown, Tin Hat has been well found, and even this morning has come in from 280 to 260. In regards to, I'll just find 3, we'll say, for the program, Sandown, even though we've got the tab movers in just over an hour. But I will say race 3, number 4, Our Shaquilla. Race 5, number 6, Shaq. And race 7, number 2, Hawkshot. But there are a fair few favourites that the punters are confident in for today's meeting at Sandown.
Thanks for your help through the early part of this morning, Trent. We'll chat again in an hour or so.
Will do. Thanks, Brendan.
OK, Dino, speed in the last.
Yeah, I think maybe Wallace Street's the most likely on-pace runner, but Pico from a good draw, Captive Hero, Nina Rules have all got speed. And Tin Hat was back last preparation from wide draws, but he's drawn a good gate and he was very sharp in a recent jump out.
And he returns from the ultimate gear change as Tin Hat placed in both his first up runs.
Yeah, he's got a very good chance. The market's got it right, I think. I think there's two main chances. I'd be surprised if one of the two didn't win, and they are Abero and Tin Hat. And because of the price differential, I'm going with Abero. I just don't think we saw the best of him in spring. He's had a freshen up. Recent trial at Sandown looked to go great. I think he'll probably track Tin Hat into the race, then he'll have to run him down. That'll be the challenge. Tin Hat, as mentioned, last preparation got back in his races and had a bit of a task both times from wide draws, but been given the spell, been gelded, looked great in a recent jump out at Flemington. They're the two for me. 9-6 Sigma wasn't a bad win on debut for the Weir Stable. First run for that team. Looks capable of going on to a slightly better grade. And 13 Pico's yet to run a poor race and drawn for a lovely run. Will be competitive again, but 7 and 11 stand out a bit for me in the last, Brendan. 7, 11, 9, 13.
7, 11, 9, 13 from Dean in the last. Dino, your best in a play for the day?
Yeah, the best, Brendan, is race 3, number 6, Cryptic Jewel. The best value is the last, race 8, number 11, Abero. The quaddy, first leg 3-6-7, second leg 2-3-5-8-9, third leg 2-5-8-11, and come home on 7 and 11. Play of the day, I'm very keen on Cryptic Jewel. I think whatever you do, link her up through multis and what have you. Probably the next best for the day for me would be the Quinella in the last. I think I'd be very surprised if either numbers 7 or 11 didn't win the last.